You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Very warm welcome along to this week's edition of the William Hill Golf Podcast. Sam Norris in for DK this week. Got Dave Tindall on the line, however, to preview the two events that we've got coming up this week, and indeed the final two events on both the European Tour and the PGA Tour. First things first, Dave, how are you?
I'm very good, Sam. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad at all. It feels as though the golfing world never really stops, but these are officially the last two events on both tours.
Yeah, we've got the World Cup of Golf next week and then the Tigers event, so it still carries on. But yeah, this is kind of the big climax on the European Tour that we've waited for all year, although that starts up again in a couple of weeks, so there isn't really any rest. But yeah, it does feel like a nice ending this week, and I think that's because you've got the top 60 available players on the race to Dubai. So all season the guys have been trying to get into that top 60 to make the final event. It's kind of a kind of goal there and distance, shimmering in the desert for them to get there. And here we go.
Yeah, plenty of extra storylines, particularly with that European Tour. It's great to be back on the podcast this week, Dave, because yourself and Dave Kellner have been on a bit of a heater the last few weeks.
Well, yeah, we've had a couple of good weeks. Dave picked Cameron Champ at 50s or 66s, and then I had a double at 64-1. We were looking at one last week as well, actually. I had Sergio and Tony Finau, who at one stage were first and third, but obviously as soon as I tweeted that, that was it, really. But yeah, for a while, it looked like, oh, our hot run will continue, but maybe it can pick up again this week, Sam.
Yeah, hopefully so. A little look back on last week's events, first of all, starting in Europe with the Nedbank Golf Challenge. Lee Westwood, the winner there, his first title in over 3.5 years. As you say there, Dave, a really good run from the double, certainly with Sergio Garcia in that event, and Tony Finau being competitive over the course of the weekend on the PGA Tour. But it was a superb 64 on the final round from Westwood that spoilt the party in terms of any Sergio backers. And this coming after his recent split with long-term caddy Billy Foster. Westwood's girlfriend Helen Story was on the bag this week. Something we've spoke about before, Dave, a change of caddy revitalising a player, and it's been a real family affair. He had his 16-year-old son Sam on bag duties a month ago too. Not for the first time we see someone have a caddy change, and it creates a little bit of a revitalisation in their form.
Yeah, golfers' minds are funny things, really. So, I mean, Billy Foster is probably renowned as one of the best caddies in the business. You know, we'll give him wonderful advice and on pulling a club, and Lee Westwood's girlfriend then gets on the bag and basically just carrying the bag.
Yep.
But obviously, you know, a fairly new girlfriend, and it's all exciting and just everything sort of rosy again, and something clicks in Westwood's head. You put him on a course where he's won before and all the kind of ingredients slot into place. So yeah, it was great to see him win. And weirdly then in America we got Matt Kuchar winning, who'd had a similar win drought. And I'm sure somebody told me that they both last won on the same day, like 4 years ago or something.
Right, okay.
Which is a bit weird. So two guys who maybe people have, golf bettors have maybe got a bit kind of, they never sort of, they're always in contention but never quite, you know, get over the line, get their noses in front. And yeah, they both did it in the same week, just to sort of show you can't write these 40-year-olds off. There's still lots of good golf in them.
Yeah.
And interestingly, Kuchar as well, he was using a Mexican caddy, sort of local guy rather than his normal one. So
right,
again,
okay.
Who knows what difference that made?
Yeah, indeed. As you say, I was surprised to see that it's been that long for Matt Kuchar. Less surprised to read that it had been that many years for Lee Westwood. It felt as though it had been that long with Westwood. But for a player of Kuchar's ability to have been on a drought for that long seemed something of a surprise to me, that he'd been going back multiple years now.
Yeah, it's just, you know, because he has all these top tens, although he actually didn't, funnily enough, last year. But normally he's just a top 10 machine. So unless you're really keeping a close eye who's actually winning, you just think he's up there every week and naturally must win one or two. But it, yeah, it has been a while.
A word on Kuchar's performance as well at Mayakoba last week. He set a new course record with his 22 under par score and really had to dig in as well in that final round after a little bit of a wobble with bogeys on 14 and 15 in that final round before finding three pars to go on to win by a shot. He'll have been buoyed by winning it in that fashion, having to dig in a little bit. It wasn't an absolute cruise for him, and to have overcome that kind of wobble, obviously a seasoned professional now, you'd expect that from him. But still, when you have to par the final three holes, he did so well after those couple of bogeys.
Yeah, I mean, he's even though there's a slight perception that he doesn't win enough, he'd still won, I think, seven times before then. So he knows how to get it done, but you just have a little bit of a gap. I mean, look at this year. Tiger kept getting in position. He couldn't get it done. He needed a few sort of dress rehearsals. And you can, until you've actually got over that line, you can't, you know, it's just not a given that you will win again. So you could sense the sort of joy and relief on Westwood. Westwood got very emotional, didn't he? But same with Kuchar. He was a little more calm about it, but his kids ran on and he would have been chuffed to bits to get over the line because, like I say, you can be up there all the time, but until you cross the line, it's like, will it ever happen again? And two guys there. I mean, it's interesting from a betting point of view, because I think sometimes people just, you know, squiggle next to their name right there, never winning again, and we write them off. But it just shows two of the players maybe who are under that sort of criticism go and win in the same week.
A hat tip as well to DK, whose each-way selection, JJ Spawn, finished tied third.
Yes, I think, was it 50-1? Yes, that was a nice one. Yeah, he at one point you just thought, could he win this? And then he just didn't quite get it done in the end. But a really good effort from him. Yeah, well done. DK can spend some of his each way winnings in New York, which is where he is.
Yeah, indeed, celebrating his birthday. It's his birthday today as we record the podcast on Tuesday. So happy birthday today, if you are listening. That's the reason.
I'm sure he will.
Me, unfortunately, yeah, I'm sure he will as well. Just before we move on to this week's events, a quick word on Rory McIlroy, Dave, who's announced that he'll potentially be taking a bit of a step back from the European Tour for this upcoming season and focusing more on the PGA Tour. Thoughts on that? Is there anything to read into that?
It's difficult with Rory at the minute because we're not quite sure what he's, you know, what he's doing and thinking. And I did a interview with Gary Murphy, former European Tour player, now does some commentary at Sky for Golf 365 this week, and I was asking him about Rory, and he said, has he maybe just lost some of the sort of killer instinct? He's almost said he's too nice a guy. I don't know whether he's, you know, had all that success early, four majors in no time, you know, up to 2014. Now he's just, I don't know, he's going to events where you could absolutely guaranteed finish top five and finishing down in the middle of the pack. So it's a tricky one. Maybe he just needs to feel like a different focus, and maybe just he's thinking, focus on the PGA Tour. That might just give me, you know, put the blinkers on a little bit for me and I can just concentrate on that.
I was reading as well, in terms of him potentially having any designs on being a future Ryder Cup captain as well, this would have detrimental effects on that, of course.
Yeah, that's another issue to think about. Yeah, so yeah, it's just weird, isn't it, Rory? I mean, I've seen, we'll go on to this event shortly, but I've seen a couple of people absolutely convinced he's going to win this week, but I can't say I'm sharing that thought.
Yeah, he's a dual winner at this week's track. We'll get on to that event now. First of all, the European Tour, starting with the DP World Tour Championships, going to Dubai for the final European Tour event of the season at the Jumeirah Golf Estate, playing on the Earth course, which is a par of 72, measuring it at 7,675 yards. As we said right at the top of the podcast, the final week of the race to Dubai and the event that brings the curtain down on the season. We're a quarter of the odds placed 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5 for this week's event. A good field as well. The aforementioned Rory McIlroy 8-1, 11-1 Sergio Garcia, John Rahm, last year's winner, is 12-1, Tommy Fleetwood 14s, Tyrrell Hatton is 16-1, Xander Schauffele is 16-1. It's 18-1 and bigger prices for the rest of them. We mentioned Rory McIlroy a little bit earlier on. He's a dual winner at this course. Henrik Stenson is a dual winner here as well. John Rahm obviously won the event last year. Where do you start in terms of a bet, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, some obviously classy winners of this event, as you might expect. Rory's just not playing well enough for me. I know you can give him excuses like last week. you know, that course wasn't quite for him. But the previous time in China, that was one of his courses, and he didn't quite get it done. I mean, he does really always play well in the desert, it seems. It was the Dubai Desert Classic was the scene of his first victory. But I don't know. I just don't trust him at the minute. I think Garcia maybe was under the gun for a long time last week, which is maybe why he came second. So I'm sort of going past him. Not to say he can't win, of course. But I think, well, I'm going to, as it's been a bit of a theme, Sam, I'm going to do another one of these cross Atlantic doubles.
I was going to ask you that as well, whether or not we'd have a third each way double on the spin.
Yeah. So should we do that first, or should we do that as the last sort of party piece at the end?
Let's do that last. Yeah. Let's.
Yes. Okay. I'll give you my one bet then for. Yeah. I'll save that one. I'll give you my one bet for the Dubai DP World Tour Championship. I'm going to go with Shane Lowry at 33-1, the Irishman. We talk about classy winners. This is a guy who's won a WGC, World Golf Championship event, so he has beaten the best. He just looks like a player who's bubbling under and ready to do something big again. And he, to me, always seems to do it on courses where he's done well before. And last year, he was runner-up here. He was also fifth in 2014, eighth in 2011 on his first look at the track. So he's got some cracking form at this course. Closed with a 63 last year. So it really is one of those where you expect him to play well. And if you go back to maybe the end of July and tot up the top 15s, he's had six in his last 10 starts. He had a six at the Portugal Masters, which is another course that he always does well on. Runner-up at Valderrama, only a few starts ago, another place where you expect him to go well. So I think at 33-1, I think Shane Lowry's is just warming to his task. I can see him just going to throw in something big really soon. And he came here last year, maybe not at his best, and finished runner-up. And I think they might just stick in his head that he can go there again and really land another big one. So I thought 33-1 on him. Brilliant scrambler, which always is good here. I thought 33-1 on Shane Lowry was a nice sort of each-way price.
Yeah, Shane Lowry, 33-1. Is that your only selection here in terms of a single? Obviously, we'll get onto the each-way double in a moment or two.
Yeah, that's my only one. I mean, there's lots you can look at. Rahm, obviously, defending. Xander Schauffele, who won in China, 16-1. Hao Tongli, the young Chinese player, he's playing some superb golf. There's, I think, five straight top 11s. The one that's kind of picking at me a little bit in terms of, I'd hate it if I missed him, but it's Molinari, Francesco Molinari, Open champion, star of the Ryder Cup, and he's 22-1. You know, should he be eighth favourite on what he's done this year? I've got some course form. I know there's been a sort of injury concern, but I just wonder that's the sort of price that's slightly, sticking out to me a little bit, but I'm not quite sure.
He's one of those guys in contention for the race to Dubai as well.
Well,
I
think he's basically won it, to be honest. Yeah, right. Tommy Fleetwood was the only one who can pip him, but it needs a bit of a... So, again, in a funny way, that might be a slight negative. Molinari might just do enough to protect the win.
Yes. Almost so, play defensively.
Yeah, slightly maybe. I don't know. But, as you can see, I'm slightly muddled with my thinking about him this week. I can't quite work out if he's a brilliant bet or we should just leave him alone.
Okay,
but I will leave him alone.
Yes, we'll stick with Shane Lowry then for the meantime. Then in that DP World Tour Championships, which we are betting a quarter of the odds place 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. On to the PGA Tour event this week, the RSM Classic, where we have slightly different place terms because this is a much bigger field. Fifth of the odds 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 for this event, played at Sea Island, the Sea Island Golf Club, and a couple of courses are in action this weekend. Got the Seaside Course, which is the shorter of the two. Plays to a par of 70, which measures in at 7,005 yards, and the Plantation Course, which is a par of 72, which measures in at 7,058 yards. Now, it wouldn't be my turn on the podcast if we didn't have a slightly different format to the event. So I believe I'm right in thinking the first two rounds, they'll play a round on the Seaside Course and a round on the Plantation Course, and then those that make the cut will play the final two rounds over the weekend on the Seaside Course, which is the shorter of the two courses. Have I got that right?
Yeah, so You've become so good at these now that you can reel them off. Yes,
no,
that's spot on.
I just get stuck with all the alternative events, but something a little bit different to focus on. And I suppose the thing that really sticks out there when we're looking at the course specifications there, particularly the Seaside course, which is where most of the golf is going to be played this weekend, a par of 70 at just over 7,000 yards. That's a short course, given the shorter nature of the course, and in particular, as we say, of the two courses, really, and that Seaside course, much shorter. Being long off the tee, not necessarily going to be an advantage here, Dave. What kind of playing style do you look for?
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. This, I mean, normally, week in, week out on the PGA Tour, big is best, long is best, and that's why you see the likes of these young guys just eating it up. Dustin Johnson, you know, Cameron Champ's now coming up, although he hits it straight as well. But it is... The PGA Tour is tailor-made for the long hitter. It's maybe why Rory wants to spend some more time there. Mm. But this is one of the... There's a few sort of just anomalies or outliers, and this is definitely one of them where hitting it straight is definitely worth its weight in gold. Sony Open is another one. Hilton Head is another one. Again, they're sort of coastal seaside tracks. So there is some good correlating form for these events. You see... a certain type of player takes your eye, and I've got a pick again at 33-1.
Okay, tell us who. We've got a couple of former winners at that price, actually, just having a look there. Kevin Kistner and Austin Cook. In fact, I'll spin through the betting as a whole. I've neglected to do that. Webb Simpson is 9-1. Cameron Champ, 16s. 20-1, JJ Sporn. CT Pan is 22-1. Lucas Glover, 25-1. Chesson Hadley, 25-1. Russell Henley, 28. And as I say, the 33-1 mark, couple of former winners here. Where do you go?
I'm actually going to go for one of those former winners, Sam, actually, and go for Kevin Kistner at 33s. The main thing with him, you look at course form, if you're looking for a sort of horse course figure this week, he is absolutely your man. Last 4 years, he's got a win and 2 fourth places. So full payout 2015, he would have got your each way money in 2014 and again last year. Just seems to shoot 64, 65s at will at this course. Another top 20 in 2013 when he opened with a 65. I mean, even look at him for first round leader, although you'd need just a note there, if you play in the first round leader market, look for the players who are playing the other course first, because that's a bit easier.
The Plantation course, the one that's slightly
yes
longer.
Okay. Yeah, because that it's a par 72, yeah. So there's more par 5, so that's a little note there. But yeah, Kevin Kistner over the 4 days is absolutely superb here. Now the only reason he's 33s rather than maybe 20s or even shorter if he was in banging form is that you look at his recent form and there's not much to sort of look at because he hasn't teed up for a while. He came back at the Mayakoba in Mexico last week, missed the cut, but 71-70, it was almost a let's just blow the cobwebs off, get the rust off and get going again. And he didn't do an awful lot wrong, but that was his first start in over 2 months, so there was clearly he needed a look, didn't he, I think, to get back into the swing of it. Before he took his break, there was a couple of decent finishes. He was tied 12th in the PGA Championship, tied 24th in the Dell Technology, so he's hardly been out of form. And of course, if you think back to our Open Championship this summer, he was joint runner-up, so he's done plenty in the last few months, Kevin Kistner, if not, you know, very, very recently. But I think the underlying form is there. So get him back on this course. He used to live around Sea Island for about a year, I think. So he knows it like the back of his hand. And I think 33-1 is one of those ones where if you're paying too much attention to what he's done absolutely last week, I think that's you're misguided. I think you really need to focus on his course form. And I think if he's going to, you know, burst into life again, this is definitely the place for it to happen. So I thought 33s, yeah, was more than acceptable on Kevin Kistner.
Yeah, 33-1 for Kevin Kistner. A reminder on the PGA event this week, fifth of the odds, place 1 through until 6. Is that your sole bet in the RSM, Dave?
Yes.
Okay, let's move on to your each way double then this week. Obviously, you had a winner a couple of weeks ago, had a good run for the money and a bit of a near miss last week. What are you going to go for this time around?
Yes, I'm going to go in Europe for Tommy Fleetwood. I just think he's got to win again soon. I mean, his form is it's kind of Rory McIlroy-esque in terms of, yeah, Rory at his peak in terms of he's top 10 every week. Last Five starts, 7-7-9-2-11th. Okay, that technically isn't 10th, but it's one off. Eighth, the start before that. So he's in absolutely fantastic form. All he seems to be missing is maybe just putting four rounds together. And he kind of did that in Turkey better than he has in other events. He shot four rounds in the 60s, just faded slightly on the weekend. But I think all the stats are there. His greens and regulation figures are superb. He was ranked first for driving accuracy in Turkey. Now, on this course, again, if you look at his very bare results, you may be thinking, is it that great? But dig down a little bit and you'll find some really encouraging news. He was tied ninth 2 years ago. And last year, although tied 21st looks a little bit modest, he shot middle rounds of 65, 65 Friday, 65 Saturday, and then just kind of lost it a bit on the week, on the Sunday's final round. But he can score on this course without a doubt. He's won the last two editions of the Abu Dhabi Championship, and obviously we're in the United Arab Emirates again this week, so loads of regional form as well. So I think Tommy Fleetwood, it's been a great year for him again. Technically, he can catch Molinari. I don't think that will happen this week, but he is the European number one going into this week, as in he's the defending Race to Dubai champion. I don't think he's going to give up his crown without a fight. So I think maybe Fleetwood can just sign off another great year. He's that brilliant Ryder Cup with a victory. So I thought 14-1 on him. It's just a little bit skinny maybe for an outright bet, but I thought he's definitely worthy of each way double material. I'm going to pair him with Dave Keller's old friend, JJ Spawn, at 20s. He's too short for me at that price, but I can see why we've kind of ducked him, because he is a very obvious pick this week. He's got the old classics of course form and current form, JJ Spawn. Last week was third, and that built on a 15th in Vegas, 10th in the CJ Cup in South Korea. So he's playing well wherever he goes, it seems. And he was the runner-up here last year with a third round 62. So, yeah, not for me in terms of an outright at 20. That's just a bit short, but certainly it's part of the each-way double. And that each-way double is a very healthy one, Sam. It's 14-1 Fleetwood, 20-1 Spawn. That pays 314-1.
I like it a lot. Tommy Fleetwood and JJ Spawn, this week's each-way double. And obviously, if you've been following Dave the last 2 weeks, you've had a winner and a real good run for your money with last week's as well. Just before we get on to staking strategies, anyone you don't want to win this week? I imagine Molinari's high on the list.
Yeah, I think the way I was sort of rambling and blathering on about him, I think, yes.
He's confused,
basically a long-winded way of saying he's the one I don't want to win.
Yes. Fair enough. Just recap your selections then and your staking strategies ahead of the final two events this week on the European Tour and the PGA Tour.
Yeah, so for the DP World Tour Championship, I shall go a point each way on Shane Lowry at 33-1. And then in the RSM Classic, I shall go a point each way on Kevin Kisner, again at 33-1. I'm tempted to throw them into a double, to be honest. Feel free to do so, listeners, if you want to. But the actual official double is 14-1 Tommy Fleetwood in Dubai and 20-1 JJ Spawn in Sea Island, the RSM Classic. And that double, 314-1, a point each way on that.
I've just priced up the unofficial double as well for those who are interested.
Right.
1,155-1, Lowry and Kisner.
Yeah. Be rude not to, wouldn't it, really?
Indeed. Thank you very much, Dave. Do check out all the betting on the William Hill website, as always. And don't forget, we're quarter of the odds placed 1 through until 5 on the European event this week, and the event on the PGA Tour, slightly different place terms, a fifth of the odds placed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6. Dave, pleasure as always. Best of luck with the selections this week.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Sam. Cheers.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.